morning. How many of you feel like you need to get the approval of somebody? For how many of you is it a really big deal that some certain person, certain group, approve of you? I think probably for most of us, I sound a little bit, can you make me sound a little bit better? Like he'll just make me sound like Elvis or Brad Pitt or something else. I sound nasally. Don't I? Fix me, sound guy. So you're getting the big bucks. There's a lot of different idols that we talk about, and some of them are really easy and obvious ones, such as the money and the power and things of that nature, love or sex or drugs or different things that we can make idols out of that are really easy to identify. But one of the ones that we kind of can go through life and kind of miss is that idol of approval. And many of us have it. Some of us don't even know we have it. In your inserts, there's a spot to take notes for today's message if you want to. You certainly don't have to, but on the back side of that, there's also a questionnaire. I don't want you to fill that out now. I want you to pay attention, so be here now. But you can take that, and you can fill that out at home. You can score yourself honestly, and it'll tell you whether you struggle with the idol of approval. I just wanted to give you another tool to allow you to see that within yourself, because we can struggle with seeing it in ourselves, but yet I really think it's prevalent in a lot of our lives. And so I hope that you will take that home, that you will do a little bit more work on identifying if this is in fact one of the idols that has a controlling hold on you, perhaps a bigger hold than what God does. Because approval is important, because at the end of the day, we're either living our life, we're either doing this or doing that or saying this or saying that for the approval of either man or God. Right? I mean, even if we're doing it for ourselves, it's so that we don't get picked on by somebody else. So it's a manly thing. It's a human thing why we're doing it. It's still an approval thing. It all boils down to the same thing. Some of the biggest need you can see in our world for people striving and longing for approval, it seems like anyway, is this social media. Any of you guys big social media people? Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, that sort of a thing. Anybody do selfies? Therein lies perhaps a red flag. Not everybody that does a selfie or whatever, or 12 selfies a day, has got a problem of approval. But I think that you can look at that and you can wonder why. Why does one do that? Are they longing for compliments? Are they longing for support? Are they looking for a group of people to buy into, to believe in them, to come alongside of them, to make them feel good? It's all about approval at the end of the day. Even athletes these days aren't based, it is not just based off how many millions they make, that's a no-brainer. They go off like how many Twitter followers they have and stuff like that, because that's like a really big deal or something if people follow you on Twitter or Facebook or they like your page or this set. You with me? That's one of the biggest things I think that's out there that we can see in a tangible way. In our eyes, people craving for attention, longing for, they take pictures of themselves at the gym working out. Perhaps you do that. I do that often. flexing in the mirror, you know, for people. When we see those, typically we make fun of them. Oftentimes we laugh at those. Not you personally, I mean, but we laugh at when we talk about Facebook and selfies. Less the staff, we laugh. But at the end of the day, it's kind of sad, because there's probably something there that is not getting met, and that's really what I want to talk to you about today, and that's really what I want to look to see if we can identify and fix, really. And I think Paul talks about this in Galatians chapter 1. I want to look at this passage a little bit through it. Verses 3 through 5 to begin with say this: "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever." I think the reason why we seek this approval, this attention, this belonging, is because we're born separated from God. We're born separated from God since Adam and Eve. Every single one of us is born separated from him. We have to then come and give our life to him. We have to buy into that and do that and make a personal effort to do that. We're desperate for approval because of the fact that we don't have that. That's why gangs and groups and clubs and organizations and cults and all these things are so popular, because people want approval, they want to belong, they want to be supported, they want to be have a place, a group of people where they fit in. You even see groups of society wanting you to buy into the sin that they're committing, the sin that they're involved in. They want you to approve that. Why? Because they want you to approve of their life. And they're looking for it in a earthly, tangible way through people rather than an eternal way through God. And so they'll support their cause even to the point of, I know it's a crime and I know it's not right, or I know it's a sin, or I know it's, but I want you to come alongside of me and I'll fight for that cause, because they're so hungry for that support. And C.S. Lewis would say that this points back every time to our need for God. And we're looking for it through a people. We fill the eternal need for approval with temporary acceptance. We want people to accept us. We crave the approval of people, but actually what we really need, all we really need, is the approval of God. And yet, the approval of people is such a powerful thing in us. Paul goes on to say this as he continues his thought here. He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. What's happening here in Galatia, the people here are being misled. They're being taken advantage of. They've been taught the gospel, the truth of the gospel, which is pretty simple, Jesus Christ and Him only. And now they're being taught by some Jewish Christians. Well, you know, circumcision might be something, you know, you need to do if you're really going to be a follower. And some of these dietary restrictions that we, you know, did hundreds of years ago, that's something you probably, if you're really a believer. And they were bringing these other things into the gospel, and they were watering it down, and they were tainting it, and they were adding to it. And we do that all the time. We have found our approval, our acceptance, our belonging, our worth, our value, all of that in God. And yet, because it's intangible, it's hard to grab a hold of God. It's hard to feel Him and see Him. We then go to other sources to get that. And so we'll often listen to those things that people say, well, if I do this, then I'll get that, and if I do that. And that's what was going on here. The people were trying to mislead. It wasn't so much that Paul was saying everything about the Jewish tradition is bogus, you can't do that. What he was saying was, you're adding to the simple gospel of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And anytime you add on to that, anytime you make another hoop to jump through on top of that, and it's not just simple faith in Jesus Christ alone, then you're looking for man's approval, and it really is idolatry. Because it's about something that a human being made up. We crave that approval, but it's only found in God. In Christ, we can be approved by Him, accepted by Him, despite our sin. We don't got to jump through all the laws and all the rules. But for a lot of people, that doesn't seem to be quite tangible or good enough. Being approved by God is just not enough. And we want to be accepted by people. We want to be accepted by a peer group. And we give more value to their opinion or their thoughts on us than we do God. And anytime something takes the precedence of God, it is idolatry. We talked about that last week. It's that simple. Nothing can take the place of idolatry. Your spouse can, it's not right. Your kids can, and it's not right. Approval of other people can, and it's not right. God has to be first, seeking His approval, seeking to glorify Him, seeking to honor Him. The only way that we will find any real approval is through the gospel. Paul goes on to say it this way in verse 8 and 9. Maybe if we click here. But even if we or any, and I like how he does this because he includes himself in this. He throws himself completely under the bus as well. If I alter this in any way, I'm just as bad. He says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Now think about that. That's pretty harsh words. Eternally condemned, or accursed, it says in some translations. Why such strong verbiage, you might ask? It's powerful. Well, Paul strongly denounces these guys for that specific reason, because they were Jewish Christians trying to get the Galatian, which were mostly Greek Christians, to transfer over into all of their beliefs and be more like the Jews, like they wanted them to be. And if you recall, Jesus clearly came for Jew and Gentile alike. There's no differentiation between them. There's no difference between you and me. It doesn't matter if I'm a pastor and, you know, you do this for a living. It's the same. It's the same path. It's the same way. And they were adding to that, and they were enhancing that. And he was asking them, telling him, even if I do that, even if I come back to you and I change what I told you before, the gospel that I taught you, I would be eternally condemned. I would be accursed because it's not the gospel. And any time we do that in this role where we allow anything to be tweaked, changed, altered so that we can be approved of in our life or approved in a circle of friends or approved of, it's idolatry. And it goes directly against the only true gospel. When we seek the approval of man, we place that above the approval of God and we worship an idol and we live another gospel. How many of you want to live a different gospel? That's not a good way to live, but that's what we do. We give more weight to man's approval, and when we do that, we embrace a completely different gospel. When we live for the praises of man, we worship the idol of approval. When the praises of man mean so much to you every day, throughout all the things you do, you worship an idol, and you're not following and worshiping God. And he closes up his thought with this in verse 10. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? He's posing them a question to get them to understand where he's coming from. Who are you trying to please here? What is your motive? What is your agenda here? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? And that's what we have to ask ourselves in our life. What's your motive? When you're trying to convince other people to buy into your lifestyle, when you're trying to convince other people that what you're doing is okay, who are you trying to please, men or God? Because God's rule never changed. God's standards never changed. They're the same throughout history. And so it's us that are trying to tweak that a little bit to gain that approval, that idol of approval, so that we can be accepted, so that we can fit in, so we can have a group of people that, yeah, they know how it feels. They're on my side. God's on your side. God's on your side. You don't have to go out and do sinful things or bad things or things against the Word of God to be able to get a team on your side. You have people on your side, and you have the greatest team player on your side. But it sometimes can seem not very tangible with God. And the people we live around, we tend to like it when they support us and like it on Facebook or make a comment on it, how big we look or how good we look or how much weight we've lost. That's where we seek that and get that acceptance and that approval, and it becomes an idol. It becomes too much. When we live our lives to be approved by man, we're not serving Christ. You can't. You can't live your lives trying to appease and get approval of all the people around you and live for Christ at the same time. That's not compatible. It's not compatible. You have to choose there. You know that you have an idol of approval if one of your greatest fears is rejection. Anybody have that? The fear of rejection? So what does idolatry look like? That's what we're going to look at today. What does the idol of approval look like in our lives? How can we identify it? The questionnaire I gave you I hope you'll take home and you'll do is really good at that. We could go through and fill that out, but I think that you should do that at home. I want to look at three kind of basic ways that I see that we do this, that we can identify what this idol is. And the first of those is we oftentimes find ourselves with no boundaries. And when I say no boundaries, you have a hard time saying no. You have a hard time telling people no? Now, this isn't always a bad thing. Remember, we talked about idols being, they're not always bad things. They can be good things, but they're turned into bad things because they take a spot in your life that was supposed to be just for God. And so some of us find ourselves with no boundaries. I have a really hard time saying no. And you have to ask yourself, why is that? Is it good intentions, or does it stem from the fact that you're fearful of being rejected? What's the inner motivation in that? Who am I trying to please here by saying yes all the time, by not being able to say no? Am I trying to please people, or am I trying to please God? Is it because you don't want to let somebody down? You don't want to anyone to be mad at you? You don't want to overcommit yourself? What is your thinking? What is your reasoning in doing that? That's what we have to identify. Because here's the truth. Jesus said no. He said no. There was people that he left blind. There was people that he left paralyzed. There was people that he left possessed. And yet we know by the scriptures that his Father was completely pleased with what he did, that he completed his work here on earth. And yet he didn't please all the people. He wasn't a people pleaser. He was a Heavenly Father pleaser. Did he do a lot for people? Absolutely. But there was times when he said no. There was times when he did not help. There are times when we have to say no. There's got to be boundaries. We can't live with no boundaries. We can't just try to constantly try to make people happy. People pleasing is false understanding of where we find approval. You imagine if Jesus had ran around like a chicken with his head cut off trying to please every person that came his way? People pleasing is, I heard this, or I read this in a book somewhere, I can't remember where else I give credit because I couldn't come up with it, but people pleasing is like being a stray dog at a Whistler's convention. As soon as the dog, you know, you're the dog, and as soon as you go to try to respond to that whistle, there's another whistle, and then there's another whistle, and there's another, and you just keep on trying to please that master, please that owner, please that idol. How many of you find yourself there just like that? You look a lot like that, this way, and this way, and this way, and this way. And is it for God? Or is it for acceptance and approval of man? Identify that within your life. Being a people pleaser is a burden and an expectation that if you carry that around, it's going to catch up with you, and it's going to end up boiling over at some point, and it's going to boil over towards people first, and that's going to be the people who are closest to you, your husband or your wife, maybe your kids. That fact that you, when you realize you're unable to please everybody because they're fallen, sinful people just like you, and that you really shouldn't have been trying to please them all anyway, but you grow tired and you grow weary and you take that home and you get discouraged, and your family and your friends, they get that taken out on them. And then sometimes church gets that taken out on it because, oh, I've tried to do that and I've tried to do this. And so now you're hurt. Now it's boiling over and now you don't want to do anything. So we have to ask ourselves when we struggle with that no boundaries, is it because I'm trying to please the Lord, I'm trying to honor him, or because I'm trying to make people happy? Which one is it? But it's going to come back and bite you if you don't do something with it. Realize that living to please people is a dead-end road. There's a reason why Jesus said, seek first me and my kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. Not seek to please the neighbor and your best friend, and seek to please him first, seek his kingdom first, and then all these things will... There's got to be an order to things. What order do you have things in? You can do everything and people will still not appreciate you enough. You can do everything and people will still not thank you enough. You can do everything and it still won't be enough for some people, right? Many of you have probably felt that and experienced that. He says, don't do that. Seek me first. He says, cast all your cares on me. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. Don't try to fill the next person's need, come to me and find rest. Find refreshment and fulfillment so that you can go out and you have a shot to be able to minister to people. While you're striving to please people, you're forgetting that what you really crave is pleasing the Creator. You see, when you're created for a specific purpose, which you and I are, and then you're not fulfilling that purpose, there's a lack of satisfaction. There's a feeling of disapproval because you're not doing what you were created to do. And so you're chasing after all these people-pleasing and approval, and you're missing out on pleasing the Creator who created you to do very specific things. And that main thing was to worship him, to bring glory to him. And that doesn't happen when you're running around and it's about you. If you're wired this way, the problem with this too is if you're wired this way, you naturally assume that God functions this way too. And you think, well, I just need to impress him with my works, right? I just need to do a little bit more. And that's what the enemy will tell you, and that's what other people will tell you for approval. But that's not the gospel. The gospel isn't accepting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, plus this and plus that and times this and times that. It's just accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and admit that you need him. That's the gospel. And we add to that. If you have that kind of mindset, you will take that into your relationship with God, and that will constantly be a struggle for you, because you'll be wondering if you're doing enough. Is he approving of me? Listen, you can't make him approve of you. He sent his son so that you could be approved. His son died so that you could be approved. You're not gonna work your way there to be approved. That's not how it works. None of us can do that, but we can accept that 100% gift that's promised in the true gospel. The second thing is this. I think we have no boundaries, and I think the second thing we do is we compromise, right? To gain the approval of people, we compromise. How many of you guys do this? So desperate to be accepted by people, you abandon your morals, your conviction, and your faith. This is a big deal. Many of you guys have went places you shouldn't have went. Your faith knew that. You've done stuff with people, boyfriend or girlfriend. You shouldn't have done that. But you compromised your morals, you compromised your beliefs because you wanted approval. You wanted acceptance. You wanted into that group, that peer circle. And so that's what we do. With nearsighted faith, we crave acceptance from people more than God. But what if, this is what you guys ask, and I ask it too. What if people don't like me? What if people don't agree with me? What if people judge me? What if I'm not someone's best friend? What if I don't get invited to that? What if I get left out? And that happens to us, doesn't it? But those things eat at us. And so what do? We can fix this. We can fix this by altering our morals, our standards, and our personalities. And we become things that we're not really wired to be, and we do things that we know we're not supposed to do. People often say that, well, you know, I'm a different person at work because you don't understand my work environment, who I work around. It doesn't matter what your work environment or who you work around. Why does that mean you have to be a different person? Either you're looking to please and be approved by God, or you're looking to be approved of by your coworkers. It's really that simple. You don't have to be something different. If you're seeking first his kingdom and he is your idol, God is, and all you're worried about is that audience, I think you can do that and still work well at your job and do your thing. I think that's an excuse so that you can compromise, so that people might like you more, so that you'll fit in more. How about at home? I can't count how many times I've compromised my beliefs and my standards to make my kids happy. Bought them something I never should have bought them. You know, took them somewhere when they shouldn't have went because they didn't deserve it, you know. And this isn't to be mean, but how many times did we do that? Because we want to be the cool parent. We want to be in good graces. We like it when people are happy with us. We like it when they're pleased with us. We like it when they approve of what we're doing. And that's a problem when we're compromising, when we're not being who God created us to be. That's not a good thing. With our family, we can do that too. With our friends, we can do that. You can go out with certain groups of friends and say, well, you know, it's only with that group of friends that sometimes some of that happens, but that's just because... No. That doesn't have to happen just because you're with that group of friends. If you're living to please God and have his approval, then all of that goes by the wayside. It's a false understanding of where we find approval. To seek to be approved by man at the expense of God, and hear this clearly, to seek to be approved by man at the expense of God is a tragedy of the worst sort, because man is not your judge. So you spend your whole life trying to get the approval of man, and guess what? He's not your judge. You don't stand before him with the things you've done right and done wrong. You stand before God. So why all the effort? How many of us have made tragic decisions in order to win the love of a parent or a child, a friend, a boss? Here's what you and I need to remember. Our deep need to feel approval is only found in Jesus Christ. We're compromising the only thing that matters for the sake of our own insecurities. That's what it boils down to when we compromise. And we're doing it only for the approval of others. Third thing we do is this. We live to impress people, and you know people like this. They'll do anything. They'll say anything. They'll sell themselves. It's just, you see it all the time in with the actors and all the celebrities and those sorts of people. They just live their life in such a way like a train wreck, because they just want attention and approval so badly. I really want to think in my heart of hearts that people like Miley Cyrus really aren't that messed up, that maybe they just have a deep need for approval. Maybe they are that messed up. I mean, I'm hoping that they just have this need for approval and acceptance, and that's why they're as crazy as they're acting. Or Justin Bieber or Lady Gaga. I mean, I really can't think that they're just like that normally. Maybe they are. But I really think it's a longing to be approved of, to fit in, to have a group, to have a support system, to be a part of something. Once again, that's why clubs and organizations and all those are so popular, because we get that. We get that what we're looking for. The problem is we're looking for something in an earthly way that's temporary through a fallen and broken people who are sinful, and it's going to fail us rather than looking to the one true person who really matters to approve us, and that being our Lord and Savior. But our whole life can become a charade. We can live out and do everything just to impress other people. This looks like different things. This can look like hypocrisy. Some people live to impress other people with their Christianness, right? They'll pass me in the store and, you know, talk about how they've been praying and stuff. You know, maybe they've been praying. I don't know. But it seems like it's, you know, work to maybe fit in, because I'm out at the golf course, you know, I'm golfing and somebody's cussing up a storm. They find out what I do for a living. Next thing you know, they're talking about how, yeah, I go to church and I do this and I do that. That's hypocrisy, and you're living to impress people. And don't do that, because impressing me is irrelevant. I don't want you to name drop me at the gates of heaven. That's not going to get you anywhere. Seriously. But neither's your mom and neither's your kid. You can't name drop them either. Your best friend, your coworkers, none of that's going to mean a hill of beans. And yet we chase after that idol of approval over and over and over again. Narcissism is another way that we live to impress people. We bloviate and make up our stories and make ourselves sound better than what we really are. We think that the world exists to praise us, right? It's a popular thing. Narcissism is an approval idol because you feel empty when nobody's paying any attention to you, right? That's what you're longing for, is people that pay attention to you. It's like the class clown on steroids. All the time, that's what I need. All the time, that's what I need. If they're not liking my stuff, if they're not following me on this, if they're not, then the narcissism isn't being fulfilled. And it's straight up dangerous, because you're essentially stealing God's role as the one to receive glory and praise in your life. Why are you looking for the glory and praise about your workout or your lost weight? And this isn't to pick on people to do that. I'm just give credit to where credit is due. Seek approval where approval really matters. If you do that, the rest of these things will follow. This is what I needed to remember, and this is what I hope you need to remember. We need to feel important and meaningful and valued, and we will only do that once we grasp that we are loved by our Creator. Only His opinion truly matters, and only His approval matters. You know what? It's none of your business what others think of you. It's just not. But I promise you, if you're chasing after Him and you're doing the right thing, they're going to think good things of you. That's why we're told in Scripture, even amongst pagans, even amongst those who don't believe, live such good lives that even they have nothing to use against you, and yet they're pointed to God through your behavior. True approval isn't found in the praises of man, but in the blood of the Lamb. That's what we have to understand at the end of the day, as we seek out this approval in life. It can't be found anywhere other than one place, only in the true gospel. Who do you fear? Who do you live for? Who do you seek approval from? Your kids? Is that your big one? Is it your parents? Your friends? Your boss? Your pastor? Your spouse? Your Twitter followers? Your Facebook? Who is it that you make a big deal out of, that they approve of you? A bigger deal than it ought to be. You can't live for any of these things and live as a servant of Christ. They're not compatible. So you have to choose this day which one you will serve. Which one will I try to gain approval of? And I hope that you would choose the Lord. At the end of the day, there's only one opinion that matters, only one audience. And if you're here and you're not a follower of Christ, I can tell you that if you've been chasing after this and you felt this need to belong and you haven't been able to fulfill it, and you've tried the Elks and the Eagles and the YMCA and Curves and whatever else you've been to, the Mickey Mouse Club, any other organization you can think of, and it just hasn't done it for you, I can tell you why it's not working for you. because that's a group of fallen, sinful people that can't find approval there either. They can only find it through our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel. So if you've been longing for that, look to that place for it, and then you'll find it. Seek first him and his kingdom, and all these other things will be given to you as well. Pray with me. Father God, it's so easy for us to chase after this and chase after that, whether it be power or pleasure or money or whatever it is, God, in this world. But one of the sneakiest secret things is this approval thing. We almost go through life sometimes not even realizing the dependence that we have on someone else's approval. And yet people around us see it. They'll tell us, gosh, that means so much to you that so-and-so approves of you or believes in you. And God, help us to understand that we live in a fallen and broken world. And although we are called to love one another, we don't need the approval of one another. We're called to love you, Lord, and we do need your approval. Father, help us to keep that our main focus. With all the idols that are out there and all the things that can chase after our heart and try to draw us away, help us to recognize, Lord, at our workplace, at our home, and with our circle of friends, that, Father, the approval of any of those groups doesn't even compare, doesn't come anywhere close to our need to be approved by you. And if we will go down that road and seek your approval, you have promised us in your word we could have it. Father, that's good news for me. That's good news for each one in this room, that they don't have to earn it and they can't earn it. They cannot do enough to get your approval. You've sent Jesus Christ to pay that price so that we are 100% approved if found in him. God, be glorified in us. Help us to work on these different idols as we work through them in this series so that we might be able to be more like the people you, our Creator, has created us to be. In Jesus' name we pray.